Scripture, rightly dividing the inspired Word of God. All Scripture is inspired by God. A proper view of the Old Testament is critical. Its purpose is to set the context for our existence. Number one, there is a God. Number two, He created everything. Number three, He gave man authority over the earth. Number four, man rebelled against God and ceded power to Satan. Number five, God chose Abraham and his seed, Jesus, to restore earth. Number six, God defined morality. Number seven, God allowed man to stumble in self-effort. Number eight, God proved that self-effort does not lead to Him. The New Testament is about how the kingdom of God has come to earth. It is about the restoration of man from his fallen state. It is about the revelation of who God is. Jesus came telling us to change our way of thinking about God, to repent. The law is still the law. Sin is still sin. But the Old Testament emphasis on law with its blessings for obedience and punishment for sin is no longer the basis for how man relates to God. That system is now replaced with the system of grace. Grace teaches us, one, that God no longer holds sin against us because of Jesus' sacrifice. Two, that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Number three, that we are new creatures in the Spirit. Number four, that we are sons of God. Number five, that we have the Spirit of God. Number six, that we have the power of God. Number seven, that His kingdom has already come. Number eight, that His will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. The difference between Old Testament and New Testament is like the difference between night and day. In the night, we plod along carefully and fearfully, hoping not to trip over the unseen or be caught by the enemy. In the daytime, we walk with confidence, clear vision, with joy and hope. Study the Bible from this perspective, and you will not be confused. Rather, you will read with understanding and revelation by His Spirit of God's love manifested through Christ Jesus to you. The Bible, the Word of God, by Barry Bennett. That which carries God's life, authority, and the revelation of His redemption is not just a book. It is charged with His life and has transformed the lives of millions. Are the Scriptures God-breathed? 2 Timothy 3:16 says so. Do the Scriptures contain the incorruptible seed that saves us? 1 Peter 1:23 says so. Can you read the Bible and receive faith to be saved? 2 Timothy 3:15 says so. Do the Scriptures contain God's life? John 20:31 says so. Do the Scriptures carry God's authority? Matthew 4:4-10 says so. Do the Scriptures contain the power to heal? Proverbs 4:23-22 and Psalm 107:20. Say so. Does faith come from reading the Scriptures? 2 Corinthians 4:13 says so. Is the mystery of the gospel revealed through the Scriptures? Romans 16:25-27 say so. Did Jesus honor the Scriptures? Luke 24:25-27, 32 and 44-45 say so. Did Jesus equate the scripture with the power of God? Mark 12:24 says so. Did Jesus equate the scriptures with the voice of God? Matthew 22:31 says so. Do the scriptures reveal righteousness by faith? Romans 1:17 says so. Should we speculate beyond what is written? 1 Corinthians 4:6 says not. Did Jesus understand his ministry through what was written? Hebrews 10:7 says so. Can what is written bless us? Revelation 1:3 says so. Did Jesus refer to the Old Testament as the Word of God? Mark 7:8-13 says so. Can the Scripture be broken? John 10:35 says not. Do the Scriptures contain the promises of God? 2 Corinthians 1:20, 2 Peter 1:3-4 say so. If the Scriptures are God-breathed, cannot be broken, give birth to faith, can heal, can vanquish the enemy, contain the voice of God, reveal the gospel, gave authority to Jesus and the New Testament writers, had to be fulfilled, contain the better covenant, contain the promises by which we become partakers of his divine nature, bless us, and Jesus refers to them as the Word of God, can we not call them the Word of God and exalt them as such? Jesus and the Bible by Barry Bennett. Sadly, today many are attacking the infallibility of the Bible in order to promote their philosophies about God, grace, salvation, and hell. Almost always when there is an attack on Scripture, it comes from someone who has decided to believe something different, and Scripture is in the way of that belief. It is comical that those who attack Scripture still use it when it suits them. Either it can be trusted or it can't be trusted. You can't sing and preach about Jesus if the book that reveals him is corrupt and full of errors. You have nothing on which to base your beliefs. The most revealing argument in favor of the Bible as God's word is Jesus' own relationship with it. Jesus could quote from memory verse after verse. He knew it inside out. He continually referred to his life as the fulfillment of prophecy. Thus, he believed the prophecies. He believed in the historical facts of the Old Testament, such as Cain and Abel, Noah and the flood, Abraham, Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his wife, Isaac and Jacob, the manna from heaven in the wilderness, the serpents in the wilderness, Jonah, Daniel, and Isaiah, etc. He mentioned various authors of the Old Testament and the books attributed to them. He believed that which was written in the old was spoken by God, Matthew 22:31. He believed that Moses and the prophets were to be believed when speaking of the torment of hell, Luke 16:29. He quoted Scripture when confronting Satan face to face. Even Satan quoted Scripture. Interesting that Satan didn't question the infallibility of Scripture. He submitted himself to the law and lived under the law in order to fulfill the law. This would make no sense if the law was full of errors. Jesus quoted Scripture over 80 times in the four Gospels. Jesus revealed himself in the law and the prophets, Luke 24:27. He opened the understanding of the disciples to understand the Scriptures, Luke 24:45. This would make no sense if the Scriptures were full of errors. There are as many as 600 quotes and references in the New Testament from the Old. In other words, the New Testament writers considered the Old Testament the infallible Word of God. Just because someone doesn't understand something in the Word of God, or they've chosen to reject clearly presented truth, doesn't mean that the Word is fallible. It means they have chosen to establish their finite minds and emotions as the final judge of truth.